there's nothing more complex or frustrating, or at least nothing more complex or frustrating that I've experienced, that is a toxic friendship. That is a friendship where boundaries have been crossed, lines have been crossed, and you almost don't know where your individuality begins and where that friendship or relationship begins or ends. It gets really mixed up and meshed and can be really overwhelming. And if you've never experienced anything like this, then it's very likely that a lot of what I'm going to say is going to seem really complex and you're going to be like, wow, I don't ever want to go through something like that. But if you have experienced something like this, or if you're in a friendship like this, I do hope that my experiences and what I've been through can help you and be supportive for you during this time. And just know that I'm not claiming to have all the answers. I'm not claiming to know exactly what to do. It just, as someone that has come out on the other side of really complicated friendships, I honestly just want to share my experiences and my life with you guys in hopes to help out a little bit.
So why don't you dance like nobody's watching, even though everyone is, and sing like you won't have a voice if you hold it all in. Wave your flag of freedom, just give up. Why don't you dance like nobody's...
One of the actual definitions in like the dictionary for the word toxic is a very bad, unpleasant, or harmful. For example, a toxic relationship. Now, we hear a lot about toxic relationships. I mean, there's like movies about really toxic romantic relationships, but we're not going to go there today. We might briefly go there, but we're going to be talking about toxic friendships and like controlling friendships and just really complicated stuff that a lot of people have gone through, and I think a lot of young women go through, and I think a lot of in the day of social media and just like wanting to feel connected and wanting to feel close, these things are, it's just way more prone to happen. And so yeah, this is just kind of like my story and a list of like 9 things that I've noticed or things that helped me in the future and helped me that helped me in the future, things that helped me later on with building new friendships and learning to trust people again. So one thing that I do want to make sure that I point out, I want to make sure that this does not become an episode of pointing the finger at people who have made mistakes, right? Whether your toxic friendship it was a situation where you made some bad choices or they made some bad choices, or one of you or both of you have made continual bad choices in friendships and you just came together and it exploded. No matter what the scenario is, I do want to make sure that I genuinely say that there is grace, there's mercy, there is redemption for any scenario. Even if you and this person say you guys aren't friends anymore, even if you guys never become friends again and you don't talk again and you're not friends on social media and you don't try to have communication with them, it doesn't mean that that person cannot be redeemed by themselves and that you cannot be redeemed by yourself as a human. Some of the awful situations that I've been through, I don't have any communication with those people, and some of them I do. It's just honestly what's best for each person individually, what's best moving forward. And we're going to talk about that. But the reason why I want to say that is because there is like a lot of stigma out there of like, oh, I was in a toxic friendship. This is the worst person. They're a toxic person. Oh, they need to be out of my life and they're poisonous. They're awful. Well, we have to remember that to an extent, we're all awful because we're all human and we've all done awful things and we've all made mistakes. And so I want to make sure that going into this episode, we at least kind of preface it with that understanding of like, okay, there is some toxicity, is that a word? There's some stuff that we've all done. And I don't want to make it seem like, oh, point the finger at these people and put them all in a box and throw them away. You know, there's grace and there's mercy, whether a friendship or a relationship is to be had in the future with you and that person individually. We can still wish them better in their lives and in their future. Some of the signs of just really toxic relationships, friendships, for, you know, just being more specific, is the level of control, is the kind of exclusivity, right? So it's like me and this one friend against the world. And it's this concept that you feel as though you can't go anywhere without telling this friend, or you can't post anything on social media and say that someone else is your best friend or someone else is your close friend, or you went somewhere with someone else without the toxic friend. And I know that's a very aggressive term to use, but it's just for the sake of this episode. But without the other friend saying, oh, well, they're your best friend now. Oh, so I guess you have more than one best friend. Oh, so I guess you like to go to pizza with them now too. I thought pizza was our thing, right? It's kind of putting the control in your life. And so one thing that I have kind of learned to do is to like just be able to have open conversations with all of my friends and like be able to say I have more than one best friend, right? Like that should be a healthy thing that you're able to have from childhood through adulthood. You should be able to have more than one best friend. Now, if you don't have 15 best friends, that's fine. Like, that's okay. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not broken. But what I'm getting at is, even if you just have that one best friend that's been there since kindergarten or 12th grade or halfway through college, or that new job you guys just got together in your 20s or 30s, even if you just have that one friend, the last thing that anyone needs is for that best friend to put a level of control over your life to where you feel as though all of your other friendships are invalid. Or if you were to say, have a best friend, and then you go off to college and you make a new friend, and now you guys like to get pizza together and you guys like to hang out, then your friend from high school is like, oh, well, you know, I thought you were my best friend. Well, like, yeah, no, I have two best friends. Like, this is fine. It's healthy. It's totally normal. You know, all friends serve different purposes in our lives. And I know that adding a new friend to the group or to the mix can be difficult. I get that for sure. But we should be able to do that in a healthy way. There's an adult that has been kind of passively in my life for my entire life. And this is a conversation that I've had with both of my parents and my sister, so they're very aware of this. But an adult that I love dearly, but I choose not to. Well, I mean, I'm an adult too, but she's a bit older than I am. So when I was like in like elementary or middle school, she's like 20 or 30 years older than me. But I remember a specific conversation with this adult, and this adult made very toxic comments and would often ask very toxic questions, even in my childhood. And I knew something was wrong with it, but I didn't really fully understand it until maybe high school or college. So I remember one thing that happened. I was like 10, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. I was a kid. And she asked me, she was like, I'm just curious, who's your best friend? And I've always said that my sister was my best friend, but I mean, I was one of those like revolving door bullied kids, if that made sense. So just like, not to like make you guys depressed or anything, but like I was pretty bullied growing up. So like I would have a best friend for a little while, and then like they would like find out that I have Tourette's and not want to be my friend anymore. So my friends kind of changed a lot. Like just being totally honest about my childhood friend scenario. So she asked me, who is your best friend? And I sat there and I said, I think Dania, because my mom never pushed the whole best friend thing on us as kids. You know, she was always like, I want you girls to have like good, loving friends in your life, good, close friends. That's the terminology my mom used. So this lady kept saying, who's your best friend? And I said, I think Dania, who is a great girl that I grew up with. Love Dania. If you're listening, what up, girl? So I was like, I think Dania, because she was a girl at church that I hung out with all the time. And this adult, mind you, I'm 9, 10 years old. This adult, 20, 30 years older than me, says, I thought you would have said Morgan was your best friend, but I guess sisters can't be best friends, huh? And Morgan is my sister. And it was like she was trying to, I know this now as an adult and based on other conversations I have with this adult, but she was trying to get me in a corner to kind of manipulate my mindset of what a best friend should be and really make me look bad or make my parents look bad, make my sister look bad. I don't really know. But all I know now as an adult is that that was such toxic conversation to have with a child, to teach a child that, you know, you have to pick your best friend for the sake of this conversation. Now, she wasn't trying to take me and my best friend to the movies or anything. She was just stirring up drama. That's what this adult did and does. And it was so frustrating being a child and not knowing how to answer that. But now as an adult, I look back at that and I'm like, whoa, that woman had some toxic friendships in her life and kind of was pushing that concept of find your person that is your go-to person, that is your hero, that is your favorite, that is the one you link up with. You tell them everything. You text from the moment you wake up. You text from the moment you go to sleep. They are your everything. They are your hope. They are your joy. Find your person now. And that's very unhealthy. It's not a great idea. Now, I want to make sure, because I know I just said something that could have made a couple of you guys be like, Jamie Grace, you're crazy. So let me just say this really quick. Like, is it bad to have that number one go-to friend that you're texting all day? No, it's not innately bad. However, I'm just saying that it becomes toxic when you don't have any hope or joy or communication or socialization outside of that person. That becomes very toxic, even if this is a romantic relationship. If you listen to my episode that I did called How Did I Know My Husband Was the One, even when you are married, when this is the person that you spend every waking hour with, they cannot be the exclusive source of your joy and hope and strength. Because what happens when they're not feeling joyful or hopeful or strong or courageous? Well, then you've lost all sense of who you are because they can't give you what you need. So no person should be the source of all of that for you, right? With that being said, there is and there should always be a distinction between a platonic relationship and a romantic relationship. And just in case you're not familiar with the word platonic, it's a love or a friendship that, like, intimate, affectionate, but it's not sexual, it's not romantic, it's not in any way boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. It's a platonic friendship, right? You guys see me post quite a bit about my girl, Kristen Taylor. We've been friends since college. It's a platonic friendship. But then there's a romantic relationship with, say, for example, Aaron Collins, my husband. Totally different stuff happens in our relationship. And so platonic and romantic, those are two different things, and they should remain different things. When your platonic friendship becomes misrepresented as a romantic relationship, it's possible that it's a toxic friendship. Now, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable here. I don't want to stress anybody out. I don't want to say that I know all the things about your friendship that I simply don't know, because I don't know who's listening to this podcast. My mom told me the other day that she listened to an episode. So for all I know, my mom is the person just listening to this over and over again. That's a lot of times. Thanks, Mom. But yeah, so I don't know all who's listening to this, and I don't know everything, but I want to be specific about this. If you don't, or if you do, but if you don't have a romantic partner, if you're not dating anyone, if you're not engaged, if you're not married, your friendship should not replace one. A romantic relationship is one that is unique, and nothing else should be a placeholder. So I know a lot of people will disagree with this, and these are your boundaries that you have to set for yourself. I'm using personal examples that I've had to put boundaries in my personal life to let people know that there will be a difference between my platonic friendships and my romantic relationships. And I want to make sure that I clarify that these are boundaries I established when I was single, before I met my husband, before I knew who I was going to marry and when I was going to get married. When I was 18, 19, 20 years old, there were so many girls in my life that were like good friends, and there were a few things that they wanted to do in platonic friendships that I was not comfortable with. For one, holding hands. Not a thing that I do. Now, if I'm sitting on the couch with one of my friends and she's telling me an emotional story about how the Lord has brought her through, it is so likely that we are sitting there holding hands and crying our eyes out. Walking through the mall, walking through the airport, going to Target, no, not gonna happen. And that's a boundary that I set. Now, you might be listening to this and being like, of course not, that's the worst. Or you might be listening to this and being like, wow, Jamie, I'm totally offended. That's something that me and my friends do. Yet again, I am not telling you guys what to do and what not to do. I'm telling you guys that romantic relationships and platonic relationships need to be different, and you've got to figure out what those boundaries are for you. I'm going to say something really quick that I'm going to assume no babies and no children are listening, but I'm just going to say something. I'm giving you guys a warning that I'm about to say something that is not kid-proof. It's not bad. It's just not kid-proof. The only difference between your future romantic relationship or your current romantic relationship and your platonic relationship, it can't be sex. You see what I mean? If you do everything with your platonic friends, holding hands, calling them baby, calling them sweetie, taking naps together, you're always like, everything you guys do in your platonic friendships is the same stuff that you plan to do with your romantic relationship. The only thing you don't do with your platonic friends is sexual stuff. It is possible that you're giving them access, that you're allowing access to a part of your life that you might later on, when you're in a romantic relationship, you might realize that it's really difficult to balance the platonic friendship and the romantic relationship because you've already given the platonic relationship so much access that was to be reserved for the romantic relationship that now your romantic partner feels left out. So then you've got to try to give them more and more and more and more and more than your platonic friendship begins to feel like they're not getting enough because you're taking away all the things that you used to do together, call each other baby, call each other sweetie, cuddle up together, touch all over each other. You're taking away all of that stuff. And now you're trying to give it to your romantic partner to be like, well, no, I want to give you all these things. And then it's very likely that the platonic relationship will crash and burn. Again, I'm not telling you guys exact 100% rules, what to do, what not to do. I'm only saying from personal experience, from stories that I've had with my friends. These are not random people. These are not strangers that I've met after a show and talked for 2 to 3 minutes. This is all based on conversations that I've had over the last 10 to 15 years, deep, emotional, heart-wrenching, heartbreaking conversations from friendships that I've been in and from friendships that other young women that I know have been in. When you blur those lines of what platonic and what romantic looks like and you don't know where you stand anymore and you almost start to wonder, is this platonic? Or you wonder if they're wondering, is this platonic? Or your friends or your parents or your friend's parents or someone else is starting to ask, are y'all friends? Are y'all sisters? Or is that your child? No platonic relationship should take the place, of any other relationship. Let relationships be what they are and let them be beautiful and allow them to thrive within the boundaries that they should be thriving in. If you guys follow my story, then it's likely that you followed a lot of my mom's story. My mom was really sick when I was in my early to mid 20s. I'm 27 now. And she still has health complications, but the level of complexity that she was facing in my early to mid 20s was to the point where we really weren't sure how long she was going to be on this earth with us anymore. A lot of you guys know that's what pushed our move to California, finding better doctors for her and everything. So it's been a really difficult 10 years, honestly, dealing with my mom's, health journey. In my early mid 20s, I had a dear mentor friend who really stepped in kind of as a parental figure in my life. And my mom was really excited about this because there were times where my mom like wasn't able to be every part of mom that she wanted to be in my life. And so I would fly across the country and I would spend that time, with this kind of other like bonus mom figure. Now, I don't think that there's anything innately wrong with that. You know, my mom and I have talked about this friendship, you know, later on that friendship is, no more. But my mom and I've talked about it later on and there was nothing innately wrong with someone's kind of stepping into a role that, that you need them to be in for a season. And it can really be a beautiful thing, but I want to touch on how it became an issue, right? So this kind of started out as friend, became a mentor, and then became kind of a bonus mom. our relationship got so close. It grew so far from friendship that it started to become so bonus mom that when my mom started feeling better, I remember I made a phone call to this friend one night and I was telling her about, I think it was like about a guy or something that I thought I was interested in. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from what I thought was interest. But I was telling her about a guy, and some way or another, she found out that my mom knew the story before she did. My actual mom, the mom that has raised me for 20 something years. And her words were, and this is not an exact quote, but this is, sorry, my husband's watching a football game or basketball game. I don't know if you guys can hear him getting excited in the background. But these were not her exact words, but this was very much almost what she said. Her words were, I'm excited for you. She started out with, I'm excited for you that your mom is getting better, but it makes me really sad because you won't tell me things first anymore. Now, is that like a diseased sentence? No, I don't think that that's the saddest thing that anyone could ever say. I don't think it's the meanest thing that anyone could ever say. I appreciated her honesty. However, the thing that began to bother me is that, as we know, actions speak louder than words. And as my mom physically, emotionally, and mentally began to get better and began to become the mom that I once knew and really began to regain her strength, this other friend was so intimidated by the role that she was temporarily holding in my life that she acted out toward my mom and could no longer really function in my life in a friendship role because she had been given so much access to my life as a mom that it was hard to pull back and to understand, hey, I don't need this exact relationship anymore, because the season that we were in, it's coming to an end. And you guys hear me talk about seasons on the podcast all the time. I love talking about seasons, fall, winter, summer, spring. I love that seasons change, seasons they become difficult and complex and beautiful, and we receive healing and strength and courage and bravery and all these wonderful things and love and joy and peace. I love talking about seasons, but when we are not in a healthy place to understand that seasons will change and that, like, when we're not in a healthy place, our actions start to affect other people in an absolute negative way. And that's what started to happen. And my other friends that knew this mentor person, they started to realize it. And they started to say, Jamie, this isn't okay. That text wasn't okay. That was petty. That crossed the line. This isn't appropriate. That made me feel uncomfortable. And it's because this who I think was, and my mom still thinks to this day, was a well-intentioned lady. She was unable to process that the season was changing and unable to step back from the place where she had been put in such high value, if that makes sense. High value is such a terrible way to explain it. But what I'm getting at, the moral of the story is, in our platonic relationships, they all have to have boundaries. And if there are no boundaries, which I will admit, I didn't put up any boundaries with that friendship. I was just like, oh my gosh, best friends for life. Kind of cut all my other friends out of my life. Didn't really talk to anybody else unless they were group texted in with her. My friends will tell you that for a fact. I didn't put up any boundaries. I just like let all my walls down. Just like, oh my gosh, best friend ever. Like, this is so incredible. Because I didn't put up any boundaries, it was really hard when I kind of was getting my mom back, when I was getting this new relationship with my mom. It was hard to then put those boundaries up and say, hey, mentor, friend, bonus mom, I know you've had 100% access to my life, which I probably shouldn't have given any person. But now I got to try to put these boundaries up. And it didn't work out well. It crashed and burned, guys. And I mentioned that relationship to my mom a couple months ago, actually, because my mom knows everything that happened. And my mom's response was, "I have hope." And I'm like, thank you, because like we need those people in our lives that aren't going to sit back with us and be like, oh, yeah, they were the worst. But the people that are going to say, no, I have hope. And my mom doesn't have an exact game plan for hope. Yeah. Like we don't know, like, okay, in 3 weeks, we're going to drive to their house. No, there's no game plan for it. There's just hope. There's grace and mercy extended. And there's the hope that redemption could be possible, regardless of what that means. I have a couple of other things like randomly listed. I just made a random list of things that just to kind of guide myself through this episode. But one thing that I would say is learning how to put up those boundaries is like just not being afraid to speak up for yourself, right? Not being afraid to say, why would you say that? Or that makes me uncomfortable, or that crosses a line with me. I think that when we start to see the small red flags of certain friendships and relationships, and we want them to be better, we don't want them to turn into toxic relationships. But a lot of times we ignore those red flags because we're so desperate for that person's friendship. We're so desperate for it. And one thing that I would just encourage you girls to do, guys as well, is just don't be so desperate for that friendship. Like, be desperate for your boundaries more than you are for your friendship. Be desperate for your own self-love more than you are for the love of anybody else. Be desperate to honor yourself and to honor healthy relationships more than you honor a 24/7 I'm obsessed with you friendship. Just be desperate for health more than anything. A couple of years ago, I had someone in my life, and this is like this person that I'm talking about, she's still super cool. Like we don't really talk a lot because ironically, this is what's ironic. We were both living in Orange County, California, which is like a little bit south of LA. And then I moved to LA, so we just didn't hang out a lot. And then she moved to LA and she was like, hey, I moved to LA. And then I just moved back to Orange County. So like we live far from each other and we're just in different seasons of life. But if she's listening to this, I think she'll know who I'm talking about, and she knows I have got nothing but love for her. We're totally cool. But I feel like I have to say that because so many times when I talk about stuff on the podcast, I'm like, and that person I never saw again. Anyways, she very casually and comfortably calls her friends babe and honey. And that's her thing. Like, that's okay. That's what she wants to do. It's not okay with me personally. I knew that at some point in my future, and this is also a friend that I met when I was single, but I knew that some point in my future I was going to be married, and I've always really liked the word babe, but I also just wasn't sure what my future, you know, fiance or husband would call me. So I just didn't want to already be there with platonic friends, people calling me babe and hun, because I just wasn't sure. Now, if you're like, you know, a lot older than me, you know, you're kind of like saying it in like a grandmotherly way or something, that's different. But I'm just not cool with it. I've had like people like call me, like even now, like because I'm pregnant, they'll be like, hey, mommy. And I'm like, I'm not really wild about that unless you're like a lot older than me or you're like a blood relative or that's a cultural thing for you. If it's cultural, that's totally different and I honor it and I want you to own it and just rock it because I'm obsessed with cultural things. But if it's just because I'm going to be a mom, if you're not my child, don't call me mommy. And so I texted this one friend just one time and I was just like, hey, girl, just so you know, I know you don't mean anything by it, but if you could not call me babe or honey, it just kind of throws me off a little bit. This text is so awkward. Thank you for understanding. And I put like 12 emojis and I sent it and she sent a text back and she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to make you feel weird. And I hit her back. I was like, look, I gotta be real. I had a friendship before. It started off there. And then I just don't have great memories from that. So thank you so much. It's nothing personal. I love being your friend. And she just texted back and she was like, oh my gosh, you're fine, girl. That's hilarious. And we're fine. But what I wanted to get across with that is honestly, guys, it was so much easier. It would have been so much easier for me emotionally. I'm trying to like fix my mic, so I'm sorry if you guys can hear that, but it would have been so much easier for me emotionally because confrontation gives me significant anxiety. It would have been so much easier for me emotionally to just check out and just not care and just either, I would have done one of two things. I would have let her call me that and just cringe every time, or I would have just gradually distanced myself from that friendship and would have never talked again. Neither one of those things are healthy, is healthy, are healthy, be healthy. Neither one of those things it ain't healthy. And I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm glad I was brave and I stood up for myself and I sent that text. And yeah, it you know, every relationship that you have with every person is going to be different. Like, that's just, it just is how it is. If I don't know you like that, I just don't want you to call me that. If I'm like, I have a nickname. I'm not going to say what it is, but I have a nickname that about five people in this world call me. My dear friend Casey, I just want to brag on her really quick. My dear friend Casey, is one of my friends that calls me that. She plays Martha in High School Musical, and I think she's really cool for that. I should have her on the podcast sometime. But yeah, so Casey calls me this nickname. And then there's about four other friends that, and I'm not like calling you out, Casey, but Casey's a little bit older than me. I think she's in her 30s, which I think is really cool. But all my friends that call me this name are all in their 30s and up. It's a very like big sister kind of nickname. And I'm not okay with anybody else calling me this name. But like four or five of my friends, they're allowed to call me that because I like how it sounds. And I think it's really cool to have like these bonus big sisters that call me that. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having different relationships and different boundaries with different friends based on what those boundaries are able to be. And, you know, like you might have some friends that don't need to be spending a night over your house because you don't know what they're going to be doing in your house. So you'd like that. You can't be coming to my house because I don't trust you because you don't know how to pee in the toilet. You pee all over the toilet. You can't sleep over my house. And you got to put those boundaries up. If you've got a friend that just can't seem to be clean in the bathroom and you've told them 300 times, hey, can you put some tissue on the toilet before you handle your business, and they just can't seem to follow that rule to stay within that physical literal boundary of a toilet, they don't need to be coming to your house. So learn how to, like, we do that kind of stuff. We're wise about those kind of boundaries. If you have a friend that every time they come over they just, you know, walk their feet in the mud and then just walk through your house and mess up your carpet, you're gonna probably tell them, hey, don't do that. If your mom doesn't want people's feet on the couch and they put their feet on the couch, hopefully you're going to tell them, hey, don't put your feet on my couch. Hey, don't throw your pizza trash in our recycling. We live in California. That's not how we operate out here. Like, you're going to tell them that if they're like messing up your house. So why is it that we're going to be so concerned with how people are messing up our house, but we're not going to be so concerned with how they're messing up our hearts? If you're in a friendship and people are crossing a boundary, they're going too far. You don't want to cuddle on the couch for 3 hours. You want to get separate hotel beds when you guys travel, or you want to at least put pillows down the middle so they're not trying to cuddle with you in the middle of the night when you're trying to do Netflix, and they know Netflix and chill with everybody. Some people you just Netflix with. You want to put up these boundaries. You don't like that they call you baby. You don't like that they call you honey. You don't like that they expect you to text you every time you go somewhere. You don't like that they make you feel uncomfortable for having other friends on social media. These things make you feel frustrated. They make you feel uncomfortable. Again, every person is different. But if these things are making you feel uncomfortable, or obviously something else that I didn't mention, speak up for yourself, right? It's okay. It doesn't mean that you have to take this person, like I said, and put them in a box and throw them away and be like, you're not my friend anymore. I'm never having a relationship with you. You know, I'm not going to ever talk to you ever, ever again. You don't have to have a best friend breakup. If you do have a best friend breakup, I have an episode on that. It came out a couple weeks ago. Hopefully it's helpful for you. Just scroll back through. Also put the link in the show notes. But every setting of boundaries does not have to end in a breakup, right? It's simply setting boundaries. It's simply acknowledging what makes you feel comfortable or what doesn't make you feel comfortable, or what makes you feel uncomfortable, rather. Acknowledging that and requesting and your health, honoring your health, putting your health first, putting you before your friendship. You come first in your friendship, like legit. I think this is how we should look at friendships, you know, because we oftentimes will think like, oh, I just want to do the what's best for my friendship. You come before your friendship and then your friend and then the friendship. And I do know that when we're talking about selfishness and humility, that it is wise to put others before yourself. So I'm not saying that you should walk around with a pride that you come first or that you're better. But I am saying that if you're not at your healthiest placed, if you're not at your healthiest place, you're not able to put others first. You're not able to serve other people, right? Think about a nurse. Nurses are some of the most hardworking people in the entire world. I have so much respect for nurses. Doctors as well, I genuinely do, but nurses are the first people that came to mind. And y'all know I don't write this stuff down, so we just going with what's in my brains. Think about a nurse, yeah? And think about how a nurse's job, when they walk through those doors at the hospital, are to put everyone's needs before their own. To check on IVs and medication and pillows and blankets and catheters and all that stuff. Like, that's their job. But if that nurse has corns on their feet that they're not taking care of, if that nurse has back pain from not having a good mattress at home and not taking care of themselves, if that nurse is not taking care of themselves, then how are they going to be expected to take care of other people? Same thing with teachers. Just think about any job that is a job of service, which I think all jobs should have some extent of service. But think about a teacher. If a teacher hasn't learned anything about World War II, how are they going to go teach it? If a teacher walks into a geometry classroom and they didn't get past second grade, I certainly wouldn't trust them to teach my child. So yeah, you got to put others first, but the beginning of you put others first is you. So like there still has to be a you. So take care of the you so that you can honor your friend, so that you can together love and honor your friendship and take care of it. And if there's something going on that makes you feel uncomfortable, that crosses a boundary, you got to speak up. Or let me tell you what's going to happen. This is like one of the few times where I'm going to tell you that I know exactly what's going to happen. You're either going to isolate yourself from them and just wait for the friendship to fall apart or just hope they never text you again. Or the friendship is going to crash and burn in the most epic, dynamic, terrifying relationship ever. Or three, you guys will have an off and on toxic friendship for the rest of your life and you won't be able to have a healthy romantic relationship or any other healthy friendships outside of this off and on toxic friendship. One of those three things is going to happen if you do not set boundaries. And it's hard to always know, right? It's hard to always know, am I being overly dramatic and sensitive and emotional, or are these boundaries that need to be set? So the last thing that I'm going to leave you guys with is trust the people that you know you can trust. Now, this is different, again, for every single person. But who are the people that have been there all along, right? Maybe you and your parents disagree as far as which church to go to or which college to go to or what music sounds good, but maybe they know something about healthy friendships. Maybe your siblings, maybe there are other friends in your life that see you in a toxic, controlling friendship that you've distanced yourself from them because you're all wrapped up in this one person. But maybe they are the prime person that you need to go to and say, hey, one, I'm sorry I kicked you out of my life completely, or I'm sorry that I did X, Y, and Z, but two, I want to get better in the relationships in my life and the friendships in my life, and I want to ask you to walk with me through this. And are there any red flags that you see? Now, chances are if you've got really solid parents or friends or mentors or pastor or a youth pastor, if you've got these kind of people in your life, chances are they've already told you the red flags. You've just chosen to ignore them. Maybe I'm wrong. Personal experience, I tell you, personal experience. Because this is like, we're not about to make this as like, oh, the big bad person comes to your door and you just walk out like you're perfectly innocent. Like I said, I have been in situations where I chose not to put up boundaries because I was afraid to speak up for myself. But I was afraid to lose the friendship. And I found myself like, oh, Lord, I can't tweet unless I put this person's name in it. This ain't a friendship. It's prison. Nah, I mean, that's not a fun place to be. Some of that stuff I did to myself. I'm not about to be like, oh, she was a terrible person. Like, no, she made some mistakes. I did too. Or I just loved the hype of the friendship. Whatever it is, we're not, that's a whole another 12-part series. It's already been 40 minutes long. Oh my goodness. But chances are there are people in your life that have already kind of said to you like, hey, this is kind of odd that you guys are like, oh, she made you do that. Or why did so-and-so say this? Or I'm kind of concerned, you know. Go to those people in your life. If you don't have any of those people in your life, I always say this to you guys. Please tweet me, right? And just say like, just tweet me and say, hey, I'm looking for community. And what I will do is, I mean, I've spent the last 12 years of my life traveling the country, sharing music. And I feel like I've gotten a pretty good grip on like great churches, especially in the US. If you're out of the US, I will still try, but I may not know as many places. But you're going to have to be brave in this. I'm going to send you a couple links to churches. And you're gonna go and you're gonna seek out wisdom. Like I want you to tweet me and say, hey, I'm looking for community. And I want you to start every day reading a chapter of Proverbs and praying on that. Every morning you wake up, grab Proverbs. Like, well, let's do a whole episode on finding community. That'll be tomorrow's episode. Cause I find myself about to go down a whole nother rabbit trail. But if you don't have that wise, brave community, you got to seek it out. So whether you're about to seek it out or you already have it, if you're not able to set these boundaries for yourself, then you got to go chase wisdom down, find wisdom. Man, just find it. Sit at wisdom's feet. Learn from wisdom, beg from wisdom. I mean, not in like a creepy way, like, oh, pastor, teach me your ways. But yeah, man, like seek it out and know that you're not doing any of this to ruin another person's life. You're not doing any of this to trash another person. You're not doing any of this to prove that they're the worst. You're not doing any of this to prove that you're right, to prove that you're innocent. You're doing this so that you can have healthy friendships. Notice the S. Healthy relationships, notice the S. Healthy connections, notice the S. Plural. You're doing this so that it is not you and one other platonic friend against the world in an unhealthy, controlling way that prevents you from living your fullest life. Fullest life. I'm a little upset I didn't emphasize the T. Anyways, I know that's a lot. But I'm just pulling from my life and the lives of the people that I love, the stories that I've heard, the stories that I've told, and I just hope that that can be helpful. One last thing that I just ran over my list really quick, but one last thing that I would want to say really quick is that sometimes kind of a trap that you can get in with a toxic friendship is you all of a sudden begin to abandon everything that you are and everything that you believe and everything that you know to be true. And you begin to just follow everything that they believe, follow everything that they claim is true. And you abandon who you are, right? Abandonment, isolation, like those things happen. If you find yourself cutting off everyone else in your life and everything exciting that happens to that person, you tell them first. And everything sad that happens in your life, you tell them first. You can't tell anyone else. You feel like, oh no, I have to FaceTime them in the middle of the grocery store or they'll get upset. I have to text them right now and I have to get the response or they'll be mad at me. You know, it's not you and a platonic friend against the world. You can have a best friend. You can have a ride or die. I don't really know what that means. You can have your people. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it gets to the point that you no longer have an identity, you no longer have a life outside of this person, that if they were out of town for the weekend, you would feel like your life was falling apart and that you had no one to spend time with. And that your friends that were there before that love you and care about you, they feel like they've lost you. They feel like they've lost connection with you. They feel like they've lost community with you because they have. Then that's when you know it's gone too far. That's when it has gone too far. And that's when heartache and heartbreak and so many things can come into play. But it's not us versus them. It's not your old friends versus your new one. It's learning how to be able to love all of the people in your life with healthy boundaries set up. And being okay with the fact that the future season may look different than the current one. But it'll be healthier. It'll be brighter. Won't be perfect. It won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Those are my thoughts on that. My Instagram DMs are open at Jamie Grace H. If you guys have any questions, anything you're going through with friendships that you want me to talk about here on the podcast, I would love to answer your questions, talk to you guys about life. I do answer on here, so I won't say your name just out of the sake of privacy, but just make sure, you know, if you're like, you know, you don't have to like send me your address or anything. Where am I going with that? I don't know, guys. It's late. No, it's not. It's 9:30. I have no excuses. At Jamie Grace H on Instagram. If you're listening on iTunes and this episode resonated with you at all, I would love it if you shared that in a review on iTunes. Just scroll where it says, to where it says write a review. Leave it a couple stars, however many you feel like it deserves. I would just love to know what you guys thought. And if you have Instagram, I would love if you share a screenshot of this on your story, tag me on Instagram, I'll repost it. It just means a lot to me when you guys listen to this podcast. And if this podcast is helpful, especially this episode is helpful to anybody else going through something similar, then I really want to make sure that this episode gets out there. If you're listening via Spotify, just click share, but we're going to just be quiet on the commercials because it's taking forever. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I really do appreciate it. Tomorrow's episode is going to be about finding community and what to do with it. Okay, bye.